God this morning. Praise the Lord.
will not be silent. I will always worship you. Lord, you deserve all the glory, all the praise, all the worship, all the adoration. Be magnified, O gracious Father. In your loving kindness and in your tender mercies, may we experience you to the fullest. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Lord, O God, for that which you will do in the midst of your people this day. For this is the day that you've made for us to rejoice and be glad. We cast every care, O God, unto you. And we place our trust wholly and totally on you. Be praised, Father, in the mighty and glorious name of Jesus Christ, our Sovereign. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I welcome you all to the house of the Lord this wonderful day that the Lord God Almighty has made for us all to rejoice and be glad. You may be seated. If we only knew all that God has for us, what His intentions are for us, I do believe that in that knowing, we'll make right decisions. But unfortunately, many times we don't know. We're blind to the realities of God. My prayer for every one of us is that an awareness, a clear awareness, of what God has on His mind becomes our reality because we have the mind of Christ. Amen? I believe the Lord is going to speak to us in a wonderful way this morning and challenge us in many ways. But as He speaks to us, may we be attentive. Because the older I get in the walk of faith, the more I'm recognizing this to be true. That it is not that we don't know sometimes, it is that we don't obey out of a pure, whole heart what God says. We do know what God's word says. But we don't do what God's word says. We know the word of God says, bless and curse not. But we do otherwise. This day, may God help us to be aligned to His word and to His purpose so that we are in beat step by step with God. And something we learned on Friday is that if we want things to be subject to us, we have to first be subject to God. When you are subject and under God's authority, everything else comes under your authority. Don't forget that principle. Don't forget it. If I'm going to have authority over anything, I first and foremost must be under God's authority. And when you are a man under authority, you can say to this, go. You can say to that, come. Jesus said, our Lord said, when He heard that statement from the mouth of the centurion, says, I've not seen this kind of faith, not even in all Israel. This is great faith. Great faith because he understood that principle of being under authority. The Word of God says that God, our Lord Jesus Christ, humbled himself. And when he humbled himself even unto death, subject to the will of the Father, then God gave him a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee must bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You get the principle? Paul, I know. Peter, I know. Who are you? The sons of Sceva said. They understood the name of Paul. They recognized the name of Peter. But these scoundrels mentioning the name of Jesus said, we don't know you guys. And the demonized man jumped on these sons of Sceva and beat them. You don't want to be beat up by the enemy. You want to be a man of authority, a woman of authority. That's the first word that God is giving to you and to me this morning. Come under God's authority, and everything else will be subject to you. Obey God, and things will obey you. You understand? Capish? So what are you going to do to cause things to obey you? Talk to me. Come under God's authority. Obey God. You want divine health? Obey God. You want prosperity? Obey God. Don't think you're going to really make it in life if you don't obey God first. In bad English, it ain't going to happen. Anyhow, Mama is going to come and lead us in our time of prayer and intercession. And as she's leading us with repentant hearts, let's come before God. Say, God, I repent before you for not being subject to your word, whatever that word of God is. I'm going to turn that around today. I make a new decision. I'm going to obey God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Good day, everybody.
God day.
God day, everybody.
God day.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. All right. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Let us pray for our children. And all children of God from 120 plus to zero, you are the child of the Most High God. Even if you are 999 years old, like Methuselah, you know, children of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Stretch your hands. Your children are here, or your family. Bring them before the Lord. Father, we pray for all our beautiful children and our teachers. We bless them in the mighty name of Jesus. Almost over a year and a half, we could not bring them to the altar and lay hands on them. But Lord, we thank you for this day, that these children are again here, that they can be touched. Father, minister your grace to every one of them. Minister to the teachers. Minister to all our biological children, spiritual children, partners all over the world, extended families. Touch everyone from age 120 plus to zero, those in seed form, those that are still on their way from heaven, those in the loins of their parents. Minister grace to them. Those in the womb, touch them. Those in school age, those running around, those at home with their parents, the toddlers, every stage of life, every decade of life, 0 to 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, 110, 120 plus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we speak divine health, divine peace, divine love, divine joy, health and prosperity, wealth and riches are in the house of the righteous. Lord, we thank you for everyone to remain in divine health. Thank you for taking us through COVID and coming out of it alive. Every member of Glory and Peace Church, Father, we bless your holy name. Let every evil pass over. In the mighty name of Jesus, we will continue to have a testimony. Thank you for scholarships for our children. Thank you, Lord, for mortgages that are paid off. Thank you, Lord, that people are blessed and highly favored. We have multi-millionaires in this house, even billionaires, in the name of Jesus, to propagate the kingdom of God, to sponsor the work of God. Father, we receive your blessed anointing. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. See you later. Praise the Lord. Let's continue to pray. Father, we welcome your Holy Spirit, Spirit of the living God, Spirit of wisdom,
Hallelujah.
Spirit of knowledge, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel, Spirit of might, Spirit of the fear of the Lord, and all your spirit, which is your holy word. For the words that you speak, they are spirit and life. We welcome you into the service, into our hearts, into our church, into our family, our nation, our streets, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, we're going to read a scripture, and we'll continue with our prayer time. Psalm 103. So, Psalm 103. Let's read together. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. There are 22 verses, so you can catch up. Verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Somebody say, I will not forget. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes problems come. When problems come, we forget when God gave us victory yesterday. So we must never forget those victories. We must never forget that right now you are healthy. Hallelujah. Right now you are breathing. I looked around right now. Nobody's on a machine right here. So we must not forget that benefit. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Everyone here, nobody's living on the street. You all have a home. We must not forget the benefit. Hallelujah. Your mouth is still working. Can you shout hallelujah? There are people right now, they have throat cancer. They cannot talk. Their tongue is cut off. But your tongue is in place. Can you use that mouth to bless the Lord?
Hallelujah.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Even when you have pain in your body, you begin to bless the Lord. That pain must exit. Say amen.
Amen.
Somebody say, I will not forget. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thine diseases. Somebody say amen. Say amen. All iniquities, all diseases are taken care of by the Lord. Somebody say, I receive. Verse 4, who redeemed thy life from destruction? Who crowned thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. Somebody say, I receive.
I receive.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. It doesn't matter what is happening. The news might be bad, but it's good news from the Lord. There is a crown of victory. Ah, he crowns me with loving kindness. Can you put your hand on your head and say, I am crowned with loving kindness. You are not crowned with disease and pain. You are not crowned with destruction. You are crowned with loving kindness and his tender mercies. Hallelujah. Say amen. Who satisfied thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. Somebody say amen. My youth is renewed like the eagle. That means it's not just your skin that is renewed, your bones, your blood, your organs, all your organs, all your internal and external organs. Your heart is juicy, everything like a baby one. Livers, kidneys, every part, your stomach, every part, you name it. From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, you're looking good inside and outside. Say amen. Hallelujah. The snake is not better than you, neither is the ego better than you. God put you as a master of them so you can renew yourself. My youth is renewed. Say it like you mean it. My youth is renewed. Don't start saying these old bones. No, you have juicy, healthy bones. Bible says he will make your bones fat. That means you're full of life. Say, I'm full of life.
Full of life.
Say amen. Because the ego renews his feathers. The snake gets tired of his old one. He just crawls out of it. That's the snake. Snake doesn't have better anointing than you. You are the child of the Most High God.
Amen.
So begin to see yourself renewed.
Amen.
Say, I'm renewed.
I'm renewed.
I'm renewed.
I'm renewed.
I'm renewed.
I'm renewed.
Begin to enlarge your tent from inside you, from within you. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. I receive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 6, the Lord executed righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. If the devil is messing around you, God will judge all those demons and all those wickedness. In the name of Jesus, God will put his gavel down and say, I sentence you to the prison of forgetfulness. You forget that child of mine. Say amen.
Amen.
He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous his mercy. Somebody say, I receive. Somebody say, I receive. If you're prone to anger, say, Lord, have mercy on me. Somebody say, I receive mercy. Hallelujah. And I receive grace to be slow to anger and be plenty in mercy. That's how God treats us, so we must treat one another that way. Say amen. Somebody say, I receive. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. So he's not going to continuously rebuke you. Yes, once in a while he does it, but it is well. Somebody say amen. 10, he had not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. If I were you, I would say a big amen. Can you, if every single sin and every mess you have created for yourself, if God is dealing with you on that measure, nobody will be here. Say amen. Say, I receive. Thank you, Lord. That's a big one to say amen. That's a big one to say amen.
Amen.
Not all sins are visible. There are some that you play inside your head, in your heart, and you do your own movie of rubbish. But God is merciful. He sees it all and he loves us. And he's merciful to us. He said he will not deal with us after our sins. Thank you, Lord. He will not reward us according to our iniquities. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Every bent and propensity to do rubbish in our families, he will not let us be in that category. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Somebody say, I receive. How many mercy do you receive today? Great. Great mercy. Hallelujah. A little mercy was able to make blind Bartimaeus to see. So you are receiving great that will fix all the mess. Somebody say, I receive. As far as the east is from the west, so far he had removed our transgressions from us. Somebody say, amen. Remove all of it in Jesus' name. Like as the father pitied his children, so the Lord pitied them that fear him. Say amen. For he knoweth our frame, he remembered that we are dust. Aren't you glad God knows? Sometimes we think we are so strong and powerful, but God says, look my little dust. I just love you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're not sure, hallelujah, say little, little dust. Just go home now. You have cleaned your house already. Go back and just fluff the pillow and shine light on it, and you find out whether there's dust. Even you are a bag of dust. So praise the Lord. He just remembers who we are. Father, I receive your mercy. Can you say that? I receive your love, and I receive your mercy. Amen. It is well with us and our families. If we have mercy on us and have mercy on them and on our nation. Amen. As for man, verse 15, as for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. Oh my God. Somebody praise the Lord. You know, man, in other words, man is just like annuals, not perennials. You know, 1 minute they are dead, they look so nice. Just let a little cold and a little fall touch it, and a little winter. Now you see it, now you don't. So, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you for your mercy. Somebody say, I receive it. Verse 17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. Somebody say, I receive. Say a big amen. God is going to take care of your family. The generations coming after you, he will. Your children's children. Everlasting mercy. Everlasting covenant. Everlasting to everlasting. That means there's no end. Say amen. Amen. 18. To such as keep. I just want to say, if any of your children are going through stuff right now, you know, don't worry. You just say, God, remember your covenant. My children shall be taught of the Lord. Isaiah 54:13. And great is their peace. If your spouse is going through something right now, that's including, they're also the children of the Lord. God will touch them, and great is their peace. They will be taught. God will rescue them. Father, send rescue. Send rescue. Send rescue. Send ministering angels. Send humans. Send the right answers. Send words. Send thoughts. Send healing and deliverance and wholeness. In the name of Jesus, we receive everlasting mercy for us and our family. In Jesus' name and our nation. 18, to such as keep his covenant and to those that remember his commandments to do them. So we just do that part. Amen. 19, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. So God doesn't just have one heaven, he have heavens. We don't know how many. So just think about this. If God has stars, how many stars can we see in the heavens with our naked eyes? Now they say those stars are planets. Now just think, would the stars he made be greater than his own heavens where his throne is? Cannot serve a Mickey Mouse God today. He's beyond our comprehension. He's the one saying these words to us. He will do what he says he will do. He's not a man that lies. A man can promise you something this very minute. Before the next 5 minutes, they have changed. God never fails, and he never lies. He will remember his word and remember his covenant. Hallelujah. He's prepared his throne in the heavens. 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 How can a throne just be in many heavens? And his kingdom ruleth over all. Hallelujah! He will rule over our lives and over our nations in the name of Jesus. He will rule over this ministry. 20, bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments. Amen. Hallelujah. So the angels are there to bless the Lord. They excel in strength and do his commandments. This scripture, that's why you have to tell, hearkening unto the voice of his word. So when you speak, you command them, they go forth. They take the word of command and they go forth to do that. So if you are a silent person that doesn't pray out, that doesn't declare or decree out, your angels can't work for you. They're just there. They will watch you. How many of you are going to put your angels on assignment?
Amen.
And they can work for you. This is the word of the Lord. Let's read 20 back together. Bless the Lord, ye his angels. So what do you tell the angels today? Bless the Lord. You excel in strength and do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. They only hearken to the voice of his word. Whatever the Lord is saying, they listen to that. But you need to activate with your own mouth. So you need to speak. Speak the word. Speak the word only. Say amen.
Amen.
The centurion says, speak the word only, and my servant will be made whole. And immediately he was made whole. Speak the word. Somebody says, speak the word.
Speak.
Why don't you say that back to yourself? Speak the word.
Speak the word.
Yes. Tell your spirit man, speak the word. And your flesh to align. Say amen. Say it's going to be, everything is going to be all right. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Father, we bless you. We bless you. My soul magnify your holy name. My soul bless you. We as your people, we bless your holy name. Bless the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. It goes from everlasting to everlasting. Great mercies, tender mercies. Oh, we receive and we bless your holy name. Father, be in the service today. Touch everyone. We bless the nation of Israel. We speak peace over Jerusalem. Peace within her walls and her palaces. Peace to the people of Israel. Minister your grace to them. Your words say all Israel shall be saved. Israel, your glory. Israel, the apple of your eye. Israel, your firstborn. Father, remember your covenant to our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Lord, in blessing shall you bless. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we bless the nation of Israel. And out of that blessing, we bless Canada, Nigeria, United States of America, India, and all the islands of the seas, and all First Nations. We bless the people of Glory and Peace Family Church, our leaders, our pastors, our children, our workers, oh God, extended family. Father, heal those that are sick, that are home. Be healed, be restored, be made whole.
Amen.
Strengthen your people, Lord. Give them a joy and a dancing back in their feet. In the name of Jesus. And all those who are celebrating their birthdays, we bless them in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We thank you for increase and youthfulness. In Jesus' name, let the word of God come with power this morning, with grace and favor and mercy and truth, and assignment to be completed in Jesus' name. And Lord, thank you for our seed sown. Bless everyone that have given their tithes and those that are going to give their tithes and offering. Bless their family and this work of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Are you glad that you're in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. Well, before I present the word of the Lord to us this morning, last Sunday, I presented a situation to you about what we're going to be doing. I'm expecting that it will happen within the next two, 3 months. It's a great project on this particular space here, this entire space under the archway is going to be a mega large screen, LED screen. And because we're making those changes and our worship team is going to be moving off from that stage, we are going to be expanding this stage all the way back to where the gold unit is there and all the way up here. And because we're going to be making that change and carpeting is going to change, that means we're going to be running new carpets right through. So this place is going to be a totally different place in before the end of the year. Amen? Now, that all of that was not because we had some funds in the bank somewhere, you know, ready to go do something. Those, everything that I'm talking to you about right now is an expression of faith, believing that the provision is already available because of God's grace. I see it, and I know you see it. And many years ago, I guess maybe 10, 15 years ago, the Lord spoke to me and said, the way you're going to minister the word is going to change in the days to come. It's not just going to be you standing behind the pulpit and preaching the word. There is going to be a lot of action taking place as you're ministering the word. And if you've been paying attention, you might have seen certain things happening on the screens behind you while I'm preaching the word. Now, you didn't see it too well because it's off over on that screen and you might just miss it. But you're not going to miss it in the days to come because it's going to be bigger than life right behind me. While I'm preaching, there's going to be interaction and it's going to be powerful in so many levels. Amen? And this means that we are all going to dig deep into our pockets. This is not a 25 cents offering. This is going deep and, you know, doing what needs to be done. Amen? And, you know, doesn't take a rocket science to understand that what I'm talking about is 100,000 plus. And, when we moved into this place many years ago, we started with $9. And a month and a half later, we were in this building. We couldn't even pay the rent where we were, but when God said, it's time to move, ship, move. Things happen. Amen? And I want to be a partner with God. Hallelujah. I want God to, you know, not messing around, you know, hey, this is what we're doing. We're doing it now. Hallelujah. When we make a decision to do something, I know we can. God helping us. Amen? And I thank God for all of the envelopes that were handed over to me. I've not been able to call every one of you yet, but I will, you know, touch bases with each one and, you know, pray with you and encourage you in your assignment. Now, those of you that made those commitments, you heard what I said. This has to be happening within 3 months. So, because it's going to take about a month to build the unit, it's going to take about a month for it to ship from where it's been done to get here. So that's 2 months. And so 3 months, you know, at the furthest point. So I need you to begin to move on it. Amen? Just start moving on it. And let's get this done speedily. Hallelujah. Because the last time I checked, you know, those vendors and merchants, they don't say, okay, I receive your cash by faith. Amen. God is good. Hallelujah. The word that I have for us today is very simple, but life-changing. I knew I was going to be preaching from this passage. It's a passage of scripture that you know very well. Because when I say 1 Chronicles 20:20, you will say what? Believe. In who? Okay. You believe in the Lord, your God, so shall you be established, and you believe in his prophets, so shall you what? Prosper. It's a passage of scripture that we know very well. We know about the enemies that came against Jehoshaphat. So I'm going to start from 1 Chronicles 21, but I'm going to go way back to lead into this message. So this message is going to be introduction, 50 minutes, 10 minutes message. How is that? Or I might just only do introduction today and do the message some other time. But this is important. 1 Chronicles 20 and verse 1 says this. And it came to pass that after the year was expired. That's 2 Chronicles, not 1 Chronicles. But that's an interesting statement. It is an interesting 1 Chronicles 21 and 2 Chronicles 21 have the same trust. He says, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them beside Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And it came to pass after this also. The message I want to share with you, it's a simple message, and it's a question for a title. Who are you running with? 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 Who do you have alliance with? Who is it that you're connected with? Because that is going to determine. It came to pass after this also. Something happened before. Now we're going to take this message back, way back, to a man called Asa, King Asa. In 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 1, Bible tells us, and the Spirit of God came upon Azariah the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while ye be with him. Who are you running with? The Lord is going to be with you if you are with him. Question, who are you running with? The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will what do what? Forsake you. You hang around with God, he hangs around with you. You don't hang around with God, He doesn't hang around with you. Now, for a long season, Israel had been without the true God. For a long time, they'd not been with God. And without a teaching priest. And without law. They didn't have a teaching priest. And they did not have the word of God. Verse 4. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. When they turned around, he was found of them. And in those times, there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. Verse 6, a nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Are you with me? And verse 7. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Yes, there's trouble, and the people are doing their own thing, but you be strong, and you are going to be greatly rewarded. You see, it's not about every other person and what they are doing. It's about what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Well, my friends are doing this. Your friends are not you. This is about you and God. And as long as you allow yourself to be strengthened and you pursue after the things of God, God says, your work shall be rewarded. I make you a commitment. This is how the life of this man started. The Bible says in verse 12, he says, and they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. Asa was doing things that brought the people of God to that place. In verse 16, he says, and also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa the king, he removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burnt it at the brook Kidron. This man is doing the right things. He's doing the right things. He's cleaning the nation and things are changing. But then it says, but the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. It was perfect all his days. Now, this is very interesting. God's word says the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. But you're going to be shocked in just a moment. Because God makes a statement. And he says, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. So what happened? How is your heart perfect? And then you still do the wrong things. That is the question that I must ask myself, that you must ask yourself, because your heart can be in the right place. And if you are looking at the wrong things, even though God has given you a perfect heart, you can corrupt it. Verse 18 and 19. And he brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated and that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and vessels. Watch that statement. He brought all of the silver, all of the gold, everything, and he brings it to the house of the Lord, and it's there. He says, and there was no more war. And there was what? No more war until the 530th year of the reign of Asa. So, watch this. All of his days, his heart was perfect. Yeah? That's what the word of God says. But watch what's going to happen in the next chapter. Because this is the exemplary fact that when you're living with God, you are living. But when you are not living and in alliance with God, you are dead. You are dead. Do you remember the statement? His heart was perfect before the Lord all of his days. Give me that verse again. Verse 17. But the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. Can we miss that? All his days. His heart was perfect all his days. So why is verse 16? Why is chapter 16 telling us a different story? He reigns for 35 years and he had no wars. Everything was perfect. But it says in 630th year, that is the 36th year, from year 35 to year 36 of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. I preached a message on this months back. I'm not going to spend too much time on this. So what does Asa do? And Asa brought out silver. Remember the silver and gold that he put in the temple? He brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus. He took the gold, he took the silver, he took everything that he had. He takes it and he gives it to Ben-Hadad. Why is he giving it to Ben-Hadad? Ben-Hadad which simply means son, Ben-Hadad, false god, son of the false god, was a friend of the king of Israel, Baasha. He had allegiance. They had a covenant thing going. So what does Asa do? Asa takes what he had that belonged to God and he sent it to Ben-Hadad, son of the false god, and says, break allegiance with Baasha. And what happens? Ben-Hadad breaks alliance with Ben-Hadad breaks alliance with Baasha, and now it seems like Asa was okay. Everything is going the right way. This is what he wanted. He didn't want any battles. Now, who kept him from all of those battles? God. And his allegiance with God. And he's doing the right things according to the word of God. But now he decides to take the things of God and hand it over to a false god. And it seems like it was working. He says, and Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel, and he smote Ajon and Dan and Abelman and all the store cities of Naphtali. Things are going the right way. Ben-Hadad is turned against his friend, and he is supposedly at peace. You say, Pastor, but we side with Jehoshaphat. I'm coming. Hold your horses. Looks like things are working. And it came to pass when Baasha heard it that he left the building of Ramah and let his work cease. He stopped doing what he was doing. And of course, they claimed the whole place. And verse 7 happens. Says, and at that time Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, Ben-Hadad, and not relied on the Lord thy God, that's the one you were running with, that's the one you were in allegiance with, but now you've shifted because you did that. Therefore, he says, is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand? What was God saying? If you only knew what I had planned for you, that Ben-Hadad was going to be subdued and subjected to the authority of your power and your reign. If you only knew that, you wouldn't have made allegiance with him and tried to communicate with him to break allegiance with the other one so that you can have peace. If you only knew that I was the one that was giving you all the peace. But you should have known, because I gave you a perfect heart. You had the right heart. Who beguiled you? Who bewitched you? Who deceived you to cause you to break allegiance with me and begin to rely on your flesh, on your ability, on your alliances, on somebody else to run with? Who beguiled you? Does he repent? I wish he did. What does he do? Verse 8. And Hanani tells him, didn't I take care of all of these other enemies for you? These were big, gigantic forces. I cleaned them all out. He says, I delivered them into thine hand. Verse 9. He says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro through the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Asa's heart was perfect. He says, and I'm always there with you. Don't ever become so familiar with God to the extent that you start thinking, we've been married so long, I need fresh blood. That's how you feel. We've been married together 35 years. Come on. I want to check something else out. That's how you feel. His heart was perfect. Hearing thou hast done foolishly. He says, you've done foolishly. Your heart is perfect, but you've done a foolish thing. Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars. I've kept wars away from you, but now you're going to start having wars. Why did you do this? And Asa repented before the Lord and said, oh God, have mercy on my soul. No, he didn't. But the Bible says, and Asa was wroth with the seer. How dare you come tell me that? Who gave you the right to tell me that? And what does he do? He puts him in prison. Puts the prophet in prison. For he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people that same time. Not only did he oppress Hanani, he looked for other people that ran with Hanani and began to oppress them also. His heart was perfect until, just like Satan was perfect until sin was found in him. Every one of us cannot rest on our laurels and think, well, yesterday I was okay, so I'm always going to be okay. No, you make a decision every day to do the right thing. Every day you make a decision, because every day has its own issues. He resists the prophetic word, and he is unrepentant. You see, the name Asa means healer, a physician, but it also means injurious, somebody who injures. And he has these two names, and what is his decision? Rather than be a healer, which he started with, and bring healing to Judah, he now begins to injure. And now he's gone after a man of God. And the other aspect of his name becomes his new reality, because now he becomes sick in his feet. He becomes really sick. And does he go back to God and say, God, I repent? No. The Bible says, yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to physicians. He didn't seek God. He went to physicians, trying to solve his problem. Just like he did with taking all of the wealth, the things of God, and handing it over to the devil. Now he's taking all the resources he had and he's putting it in the hands of the physicians, and he's not better. He's not better. Next verse says, and Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 140th year of his reign. 5 years. 5 years, and his whole life got messed up. 35 years. Wonderful. From the 36th year to the 41st year, everything falls apart. All that was necessary was repentance. Repentance. Crying out to God and say, God, I repent. I messed up. I've done the wrong thing. I shouldn't have done that. I repent. And God was there for him. Remember the statement, the people, when they turned to God, they found God. God always will hear the heart of the repentant. But if you choose not to repent, it's downhill, and it happens fast. So what happens? They get all kinds of aromatic stuff, smelly stuff, you know, fragrances, perfumes, because the guy is a stinking mess. And they bring it and surround him with all this smell, because good, nice smells, but it's so bad. The Bible says, they laid him in the bed which was filled with sweet odors and diverse kinds of spices prepared by the apothecary's art. And they made a very great burning for him. After they put all the smell, and it was not stopping it, they said, we got to burn this guy. So they burnt him. This is the only guy that got cremated. The only guy that got cremated. I know we do cremation nowadays, but that was not the way of the people of God. But they cremated him, burnt him. That was Asa. Now his son comes up. Jehoshaphat. Take me to verse 1. He says, and Jehoshaphat, his son. Jehoshaphat means Jehovah has judged. Reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel. And he placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. Verse 3, and the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways. He walked in the first ways. He walked in the first ways of his father. Who? David. His father is Asa. Yeah. But I don't want to connect Jehoshaphat with Asa. You know, later on in chapter 20, the Bible is going to say Jehoshaphat and Asa. But right here at the beginning, it says Jehoshaphat and David. And sought, he says, and sought not unto Balaam, and sought not unto Balaam, and sought not unto Balaam. That gives us a clue. The reason Asa got messed up, he sought unto Balaam. I'm just going to take this little booze, but you didn't know that by the time you get to that bottom of that booze bottle, that you wanted to help, you know, calm you down. You know, you used to calm yourself down by praying, calling on to God. But I need a quick fix. Let me take some ecstasy. Now you're drugged. Now you're messed up. Because you're looking at a solution outside of God. Outside of God. This is not what God says for you to do. You're doing something other. He sought. And when he sought after Balaam, I am certain he did not know he was going to be pulled into that mess. He just thought, oh, let me check this in. Oh, what is that thing that you're playing with? A Ouija board? How does that thing work? Now, Ouija board, now your eyes are showing demons. Do you know what is happening in our world today? I said it just a few months ago, how the enemy was going to have entrance through what we are watching. And what do you think is happening in our world right now? They are resurrecting every demonic movie that got people demonized. They are bringing them back up. They are repeating them and are about to set up series with that. That's what's happening in our world right now. Is it just by chance? No, it is a deliberate act of the enemy to get people into a state where they are demonized and influenced by demonic spirits, hardening of the heart. Hearts hardened. People playing with all kinds of stuff and not understanding why they have so many problems. Jehoshaphat changed things. But remember, what his father did, he created an alliance. Now, this is going to be the major Achilles heel for Jehoshaphat. And that's why this message, who are you running with? His life was totally different from his father's life. He made a decision, I'm going to do the right thing. But there was something when he's getting out that pulled him back in. I happened to go to, I was doing some errands for Mama yesterday. And after I get one thing and I'm heading out, I get a phone call and she says, oh, I need this. So I turn around and I go back to the store. And about the third time I'm coming in and there's this cop in there. I said, when I get out, they pull me back in. He said, I can see that. That becomes the story of Jehoshaphat. One thing. His life is so extraordinary. This is one of the great kings of Judah. He says, but sought to the Lord God of his father and walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel. He did not follow Israel's way. He went after God. Hallelujah. Verse 5 says, therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand. He believed God, and so he was established. And all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents. You remember, his dad was busy sending things out. Now, he's following God, and things are coming into his hands. And he had riches and honor in abundance. He had riches and honor in abundance. Why? He went running with God. Who are you running with? Because the one that you're running with is challenging you to do the right thing or the wrong thing. So who are you running with? Now things are pouring into his hands. His life is extraordinary. And verse 6 says, and his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. His heart was lifted up, not in pride that brings you into a place of failing, but his heart is lifted up to glorifying God. He says, moreover, he took away the high places and groves out of Judah. And verse 7 says, also in the third year of his reign, he sent to his princes, even to Behel and to Abadiah and to Zechariah and to Nathanael and to Micaiah, to teach in the cities of Judah. Ah, he's sending preachers, teachers of the word, right through the entire place to teach. I don't only want to know the word of God. My people've got to know the word of God. Let's spread the word. And he's sending out leaders with his princes, and they're going out, and he sends out Levites, and there's a whole host of those names, and they are going out, and they are ministering the word of God to the people of God. There's a promotion for the word of God. He says, and they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them and went about throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. What was the result? The Bible tells us in verse 10 through, it says, the nations around feared him. He didn't have to fight anybody. They were afraid of him. And when they're afraid of you, they don't come fighting you. So what happens? He has peace. Wow. So that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. He was running with God. And the question again to us is this. Who are you running with? Are you running with God? Or are you doing your own thing? Are you running with God? Because if you're not running with God and you're doing your own thing, all you've got is confusion. The neighbors feared him. Verse 14 through 19 tell us that he established order in his military. He put things in order. Everything was in a proper place. And there's a notation in verse 16 about a particular man. It says, and next him was Amasiah, the son of Zikri, who willingly offered himself unto the Lord. Amasiah means Jehovah is strength. He's a son of Zikri. Zikri means memorable. That's what that name means. A man is raised up and he gives himself willingly to God. And that's exactly what every one of us need to do. Give ourselves willingly to the Lord. Surrender ourselves willingly to the Lord. And say, God, I just want you in my life. I want to run with you. I want to flow with you. I want to be one connected to you and follow through with your vision and with your purpose. This is not about anybody else. Me and you, God. Me and you. And that's where Amasiah was. In chapter 18, something begins to happen. It says, Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance and joined affinity with Ahab. Ahab is king in Israel. He joined affinity with Ahab. He makes alliance with Ahab. Huh. And that word affinity seems like the Hebrew word actually means married himself. He came into allegiance, oneness with Ahab. And after certain years, he went down to Ahab to Samaria. You see, when you have affinity, you go down. He went down to Ahab to Samaria. And Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him. Killed it for him. When we kill sheep and oxen, it is always to the Lord. But what is happening here? He's killing it for him. No, we're not going to give it to the Lord. It's you. It's like that demonic spirit spoke up and said, oh, what a mighty man of God you are. You're just sitting down there and just controlling things. Trying to entrap me into thinking that I was it. And so it was that he started pumping it into him. And what happens? Persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth Gilead. He persuaded him to go fight with him. Jehoshaphat is blessed. He's running with God. And as soon as he makes affinity with Ahab, he is heading in the wrong direction. And Ahab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, will thou go with me to Ramoth Gilead? And he answered him and said, I am as thou art, and my people as thy people. What a lie. Judah serving God. Israel not serving God. And we will be with thee in the war. I'm going to fight with you, man. I'm going to stand right by you and we're going to do it. We're going to fight this battle and we're going to win. But he says, Wait a minute. Before I've told you I'm going to fight with you, but let's check it out first with the prophets of God. Oh, what's, you know, you raise up a child in the way he ought to go, and when he's grown up, he will not depart from it. Somehow, something on the inside said, yeah, but let's check with the prophets whether this is okay. So, okay, we'll get some prophets. So they get all these prophets. And the prophets come and they say to Jehoshaphat and Ahab, you're going to win. This is a battle already won. In fact, one of the prophets thumps a horn with iron and brings it and demonstrates and says, this is how you're going to push them all out of the way. You're going to push them all out of the way. But something was nagging in the heart of Jehoshaphat. Don't you have any other prophet? He says, is there no other prophet here beside this one that we might inquire of him? And Ahab says, yeah, there's this guy, you know, he always comes here and all he prophesies is doom and doom and doom and doom. The guy hates me and I hate him. But if you want somebody else to confirm, let's get him. So they send for Micaiah. Micaiah has this emissary of people, special people from the king. And they tell him, he says, this is what everybody else is prophesying. Prophesy the same thing, okay? Just confirm whatever it is they're saying. Because all of them, they're saying the same thing. All right? So Micaiah comes. He says, what word do you have? Micaiah says, yeah, you're going to win. I'm going to win. Yeah, you're going to win. Go fight. You're going to win. And Ahab says, this is a different word because normally when you come here, you tell me my goose is cooked. Did I tell you to tell me only the truth from God? So he says, okay, you really want, can you handle the truth? You want the truth? Can you handle the truth, man? Yeah, tell me. So he says, well, I see Israel scattered all over the place. You're going to lose, man. And the reason I'm telling you this is because I saw God sitting on his throne and says, I want this guy destroyed. I want him off. And he says, who's going to take care of this? And an unclean spirit came before God and says, I'll take care of it. How are you going to do it? I'm going to send a lying spirit, a lying tongue to all of the prophets. And you're looking at me really, say, this is in the Bible? Yeah, we. And he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets. And the Lord said, thou shalt entice him, and thou shalt also prevail. Go out and do even so. It's in the Bible. You better not be on the bad side of God. Now, therefore, behold, the Lord had put a lying spirit in the mouth of these by these thy prophets. These are thy prophets. They are not the prophets of God. These are your man-made prophets. These are the ones that you can bribe and they'll tell you whatever it is you want to hear. And we have lots of them in our world today. There are churches opening up themselves to do whatever the government wants. For some cash. How long do you think that's going to last? It's put a lying spirit in the mouth of these thy prophets, and the Lord had spoken evil against thee.
Wow.
The Bible says in verse 10, Zedekiah, who is the one that fashioned the iron thing, says, and Zedekiah the son of Shenar had made him horns of iron and said, thus said the Lord, with these thou shalt push Syria until they be consumed. Huh. You're going to win. You're going to win, man. Verse 11. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe in his prophets, not thy prophets. God's prophets, so shall you prosper. And they're telling him, you're going to prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it unto thine hand of the king. Wow. Interesting. Verse 17 says, and the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he will not prophesy good unto me, but evil? 18. And again he said, therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting upon his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing on his right hand and on his left. 19. And the Lord said, who shall entice Ahab, king of Israel, that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? Who's going to entice him? And one spake saying after this manner, and another saying after that manner. In verse 20, and there came out a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? How are you going to do it? And he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. His prophets. Verse 23, this is Zedekiah's response. Remember him. Zedekiah, the son of Kenaiah, came near and smote Micaiah upon the cheek, slapped him, and said, which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? Listen, man, I'm the main man here. I'm the main prophet. I'm the designer of horns made out of iron, and I illustrate. How did God leave me to come talk to you, man? Since when? Smacks him on the face. And Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see on that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. You're going to see how God left, because you are going to be hiding when this hits the fan. You're going to be hiding yourself. What does Ahab do? He did exactly what Asa did. He takes Micaiah and hauls him into what? Prison. Ah. Puts him in prison. But this is the guy Jehoshaphat is hanging around. Are you with me? But there's a change. Asa does not repent. The battle takes place. And this is, watch this, as I begin my descent to land. I'm still going to talk about Jehoshaphat in chapter 20, but I want you to see what's happening here. He is making an allegiance, and those allegiances are beginning to create a whirlwind around him. And the Bible tells us, watch this, they're going to go to battle. Asa says to Jehoshaphat, you know what? I'm going to take my royal regalia off. I'm going to dress up like just anybody while we go to war. But you can wear your regalia as king. Listen up. The word of God tells us that these things are given to us as examples so that we know what to do and what not to do. We'll go to battle. Put on thy robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself and they went to battle. And Jehoshaphat is still going along. Why is he going along? God is always with me. God is always with me. Yeah, you can change. I'll stay as king as I am. And they go out to battle. And it turns sour. Verse 30. Now the king of Syria had commanded the captains of the chariots that were with him, said, fight ye not with small or great, save only with the king of Israel. Don't target anybody else, target the king of Israel. Don't fight with anybody else, let other people take care of that. You hone in on the king of Israel and get him out. So they hone in on the king of Israel, but the king of Israel is disguised. And the only person that looks like a king in this battlefield is Jehoshaphat. This is a major setup. How, you see, when you stop running with God, you get foolish. As soon as Ahab starts saying, I'm going to take off my clothes, that's when you say, I'm going to take mine off too. How is it that you want to go to war, but you want to disguise yourself? But me, I remain the same. See, but there is something amazing about this man called Jehoshaphat. He said, and it came to pass when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat that they said, it is the king of Israel. They identified the king of Judah as the king of Israel. Therefore, they compassed about him to fight, but Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord did what? Helped him. Who do you think he cried out to? Cried out to the Lord. And the Lord helped him, and God moved them to depart from him. Move them away from him. Hallelujah. May God deliver us when we've acted foolishly. Praise the Lord. They departed from him. And watch this. Next verse. It came to pass that when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back again from pursuing him. 33. And a certain man, certain man, drew a bow at a venture. In other words, he is just shooting. He doesn't know what he's shooting at. He just pulls the bow and shoots it. And guess what? Just like David Stone found Goliath, the arrow found Ahab. Disguised or not, it found him. When God wants you out, you are out. I declare in the mighty name of Jesus that everyone who is operating on a disguise, operating behind the scenes, as if they were not involved in whatever it is that is happening, that the arrow of God will locate them and find them and take them out. Because we must be at peace. The troublemakers must be removed. Hallelujah. The arrow found him. And he's smitten. But this is remarkable. He says, therefore he said to his chariot man, turn thine hand that thou mayest carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. Watch this next verse. And the battle increased that day. Howbeit the king of Israel stayed himself. He held himself up in his chariots against the Syrians until the even. Why is he doing it? He's doing it so that his people can keep on fighting, because if he drops down dead, they'll all drop their arms and run. As long as the king is still standing, we'll keep on fighting. So he stayed standing until the sun going down. when now people cannot see him anymore, he gave up. What a fighting spirit. This guy was committed to the end in his wicked ways. How committed are we to the purposes of God and say, I'm going to stand here to so that the people of God can win the battle? Moses was sitting and his hands raised up as the battle raged, because he saw that when his hand was down, the people of God were losing. And when his hand was up, the people were winning. And those that were around him held his hand up. Whose hand are you holding up so that the battle can be won? These are questions, because we've got to determine who we're running with. This is Jehoshaphat, chapter 19. Jehu, the son of Hanani, comes. He said, and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. He got back home, and Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went to meet him. This is the son of the prophet that was imprisoned, that first spoke. Now, his son comes to Jehoshaphat, and he says, shouldst thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord, Jehoshaphat. You messed up. Now there's wrath. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. And Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again through the people of Beersheba to Mount Ephraim and brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers. He went back and began to restore the nation again. He repented. And he set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city. Order was being restored. Verse 6 says, and said to the judges, take heed what you do, for ye judge not for man, but for the Lord. You're not judging for man. You're not judging for me. You're judging for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. God is going to be with you in the judgment because you are connected to him. Don't do anything otherwise. Wherefore now, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. Moreover, in Jerusalem did Jehoshaphat set up the Levites and of the priests and of the chief fathers of Israel for the judgment of the Lord and for controversies when they returned to Jerusalem. 9, and he charged them, saying, thus shall you do in the fear of the Lord faithfully and with a, what? Perfect heart. Verse 10, and what cause soever shall come to you of your brethren that dwell in their cities, between blood and blood, between law and commandment, statutes and judgment, ye shall even warn them that they trespass not against the Lord, and so wrath come upon you and upon your brethren. This do, and ye shall not trespass. This is Jehoshaphat. He repents. He does not throw Jehu in prison. Instead, he turns around and begins to correct things. When the word of God comes to us, we correct things. Amen? It's not that we don't mess up. It's that when we mess up and we recognize that we've messed up, that we repent. That's the key thing. So this is what happens with him. And because he has started a pattern of alliances, now 3 countries form an alliance against him. What you sow, you reap. You got it? Now you know the story of 2 Chronicles 20 and how they won the victory. Another day I will talk to you about that, because there's a lot of lessons there. But this is what I want you to see. Would you think that this is the end of the issue with alliances with Jehoshaphat? If you thought so, you would be wrong. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, I'll take it from verse 33. Actually, why don't we start from verse 30? It says, so the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. 31. And Jehoshaphat reigned over Judah. He was 35 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Azuba, the daughter of Shilhei. 32. And he walked in the way of, whoa, Asa. What? Asa was the crazy guy that was busy imprisoning people who would not repent. But he had a perfect heart, remember? For 35 years. And he walked in the way of Asa, his father, and departed not from it. What Asa? The Asa before Asa, 36. You see, as far as God was concerned, Asa had died when he was 36 years old. You're dead. Have you ever heard the statement, you're dead to me? You're dead to me. As far as God was concerned, Asa was dead to him when he started forming allegiance with the enemy. Again, the question is, who are you running with? Because who you're running with is going to determine whether God sees you as alive or dead. God still holds on and says he walked in the way of Asa his father and departed not from it, doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But you read chapter 16. Asa messed up. When I read that, I said, God, what kind of a God are we serving? He doesn't want to remember the bad parts. He just wants to, you did all the right things like your father did. At the beginning, he said, the son of David, like David, his father. And now at the end, he says still, Asa, you had a perfect heart. You had a perfect heart. What got you into this mess up? May God never weep over us. I say, may God never weep over us. Absalom, Absalom, my son. David wept over his son. May God never weep because of us. May we never weep over our children. Ah. 33. How be the high places were not taken away, for as yet the people had not prepared their hearts unto the God of their fathers. What happened here? He'd already taken it down. We read that. Jehoshaphat cleaned all of that out. But now the people were restoring stuff. It was not because the word of God was not preached. He sent all the ministers out there, but Now, the people have whatever it is they want to do, they're going to do. Yeah. So, for as yet the people had not prepared their hearts unto the God of their fathers. Prepared their hearts. That statement I'm going to dwell on some other day, preparing your heart. 34. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of Jehu, the son of Hanani, who is mentioned in the book of the kings of Israel. And after this, did Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, join himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel, who did very wickedly. When he gets out, they pull him back in. This was his weakness. This was his weakness. He wants to befriend Israel. So when Israel wants something, he wants to connect with them again and again and again. But each time they're getting him into that mess. But this time I thank God. There's an end to this story, 36 and 37. And he joined himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish. He joined himself to make ships to go to Tarshish. And they made the ships in Ezion Geber. And Eleazar, the son of Dodava of Marasha, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, because thou hast joined thyself with Ahaziah, the Lord had broken thy works. And the ships were broken that they were not able to go to Tarshish. God said, Jehoshaphat, come on. You're doing this again? You're in allegiance with Israel? You're building ships? You're in business with them? Okay, whatever it is that you've built, I'm going to break it all up. But 1 Kings gives us a little bit more. And that's where I'm going to end the message today. 1 Kings chapter 22, 48. 1 Kings 22, verse 48. He says, Jehoshaphat have made ships of Tarshish to go to Ophir for gold. Remember, he has all this gold. Huh? But he wants more. You see, it is, I want more that gets you in the wrong place. Learn the powerful key of being content. I want more, I want this, I want that. And it will cause you to dip your hands in the wrong places. Connect with things that you should not be connected with. I want more this, I want more that. Just be thankful that you have God. And when you have God, you have everything you need. He says, Joseph made ships of Tarshish to go to Ophir for gold, but they went not. Why didn't they go? For the ships were broken at Ezion Geber. God broke it. I'm not going to let you go there. Some losses are a blessing. Let me say it again. Some losses are what? A blessing. This is at the end of his life. This is at the end of his life. The enemy was still there. Pull him in. And God says, I'm going to destroy whatever it is that is going to get you into that mess. You've come all this way. I'm not going to let you become like your father. I'm going to stop you right here, right now. I will stop you right now. And so he did. He says, then said Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, unto Jehoshaphat, let my servants go with thy servants in the ships. But I like that last phrase. But Jehoshaphat would not. Come on. What just happened? The Bible says Jehoshaphat would not. So he would not. Meant he would not. So why did God destroy it? Because he was having a conversation with the wrong person. It's not that he made the decision finally, I'm going to go, I'm going to be in allegiance. You were talking to the wrong person. How many times do we talk to the wrong person and God says, you're having that discussion? I'm going to clean your slate right now because I know where this whole thing is going to go. You start this discussion, and before you know it, you start heading in that direction. You know, just keep on saying the same thing over and over. Okay, is that all? Let's just do it. Ahijah said, let my guys come with your guys so that we can be part of this business. And God says, wrong talk, wrong discussion. It doesn't matter whether you went looking for it or they came looking for you. God says, put a halt to it. There are some relationships you don't want in your life. You need to be careful who you are running with. Show the image. Watch that. Who are you running with? You better be running with God, alone with God, rather becoming part of a crowd of people running together. Because if you are running with the wrong person, they will take you in the wrong direction. The wisest thing you can do, the wisest decision you can make is simply this. Choose your friends very carefully. Choose your friends carefully, because you pick the wrong people, they will drag you into hell. Capiche? That was the introduction. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we are thankful for your grace. Help us, O God, to be wise men and wise women, children of the Most High God, committed and dedicated to purpose, to your vision, to your directives. Lord, O God, we are finite in our thinking. We don't see the whole board. We don't see around the corners. But God, you see. Your perspective is different. For you see from above, and you can see the corners that we don't. And so, Lord, we come up higher. As your word says in 2 Chronicles, they praise God on high. So, Lord, let it be about us that we move on higher ground, higher ground, higher ground, higher ground. And as we, O God, step, O God, this week into the conference, the higher ground, there is a lifting up conference. Lord, O God, do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Help us be everything you say we can be. In Jesus' mighty name, we decree it so done. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Well, at this time, we're going to share in communion together. But before we do so, if you've not honored God yet with your tithe and your offerings, this will be the time to do so. And if you have your special offering towards the screen and you've not put it up here already, and you have it with you, just bring it to me at this time. I'll receive it from your hand and declare the blessing of the Lord over you for your doings in him. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you've given it already, if you've put it already in there, just come stand here with me. And Mama, can you come? Oh, praise the Lord. These are people that are your honoring your commitment for the screen. Father, I thank you, Lord. Come, Mama. Those who are already honoring God with their particular, you put it already? Okay. All right. Receive it. I receive it. In Jesus' name. I receive yours. Amen. I receive yours. I receive it. Okay. I'm going to ask, just come together. And closer. Praise God. Even as you've obeyed God in your giving, and I know some of you are going to even do more than you have already done, but you have opened your heart willingly to respond. May God bring into your hands so much more and increase you beyond measure. May God surprise you, and may your life be bigger than life because of the goodness of God. You sowing into a large screen and a total renovation of the house of God. And may God renovate, sanctify, and bless you beyond description. Everyone that is honoring God concerning this commitment, may the blessings of God pursue after you and overtake you. Lord, O God, draw others to have a willing heart to respond to this assignment, this commission that you've given to us. And may we do it speedily and efficiently for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name we call it so done. And all of God's put together in agreement said, yes and amen. I'm going to ask Mama to bless you also.
Thank you. Why don't the rest of you just stand? Hallelujah. Stretch your hands towards them, and as you bless, that's how God blesses you. Same measure you measure shall be measured back to you. Father, we thank you, God, for those who have come to give to the work of the Lord, those who gave last week, those who gave now, and those who are still to give. Father, minister your grace to them. For your word says you give seed to the sower. So give seed to them, Lord, and Amen. Bread to the eater. Father, may they never lack in their home.
Yes,
in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Like the miracle you gave to the widow that had only a little oil. And then the supply, because the servant of the Lord touched that home, and the supply of oil became more and more and more. Father, wherever they have borrowed vessels, wherever this money has come from that they are giving to you, multiply this seed in their
Amen.
Homes. Give them miracle, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Miracle upon miracles.
Amen.
Give to those who want to give,
yes,
that do not have right now, that they will be part of it also.
Yes,
in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Bless Glory and Peace Family Church.
Hallelujah.
This is for your house.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so very much. Those of you that have not responded yet, that I know you want to respond, do the same thing. Write the amount that you are committed to and just bring that envelope to us, and we'll continue to pray with you for the results that we are all looking forward to. Amen? Hallelujah. Take your elements. Father, we take of this body and we eat. We do it in remembrance of you. We are running with you. We are in allegiance with and to you. And may the blessings that this brings be manifested in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for this body and for this cup. In Jesus' name, take and eat.
Father, we thank you for the cup of blessing. We thank you for your covenant. We thank you for your precious blood, the blood of Jesus, the blood that no demon can penetrate, no devils can have power in. Thank you, Lord, that this blood covers every one of us now.
Amen.
As we take our feet, may our health be restored. Mm. May our families be restored. May our finances be restored.
Amen.
May our nation be restored.
Amen.
May there be peace and joy, perfect peace, where nothing is missing or broken. Thank you for miracles, for families who desperately need you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Take and drink.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Just be seated for a quick moment. This has taken a while to get to us, but in January, we had meetings every day, and during that particular meeting, there were quite a few prophetic declarations and powerful words that the Lord gave to us. In one of our sons put those words together, and we have it. And I tell you what, this possibly might be one of the most powerful booklets that would have touched your hands. I kid you not, because as we're reviewing this, my jaw almost hit the floor on the things that God said when you hone in to the exact words that were being pronounced over our lives. My God, it's a powerful booklet. And we have some copies. We would like to encourage you. We have behind each page is blank so that you can write, make notes on the things that God is going to be speaking to you about. This is a powerful booklet. And I know something, you know, we can hand this over to you for free and just, yeah, everybody have a copy. But then when you get home, it's going to be somewhere else and you won't see it. So we're going to ask you to cover the cost if you, and I pray that everyone gets their copy. Get yourself a copy, and for a donation of $10, just when you get out there, you know, the ushers will be there to serve you. Pick up your own copy, because there is so much in here. There is so much in here that you need to use to pray. As you read it and begin to make the declarations that you find here, things are going to move. This is you running with God and His Word. Amen? Bless you. Yes? Yeah, we've sent their copy out to them already. It's in the mail. So their copy is here for us. So do get your copy, and be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. We can now cut off from those that are on YouTube. I should have told you to do so. Hopefully you did that, because this is all in-house stuff at this point.